Today I want to share a message with you that I believe is a powerful message of hope. And it's two words and six letters. And it can completely change your life forever when you live under the power of these two words. Now you might be facing a situation where you feel like giving up. Has anybody ever been there? Maybe you feel like everybody's against you. No matter how hard you try, nothing seems to work. It looks impossible. You're kind of in a cycle where things go from bad to badder, badder. You know, I know that's not a word, but you understand. You know, the washing machine breaks down and the car breaks down and the kids get sick and, you know, it just seems like it's one thing and then another. Or maybe you have financial difficulties. Maybe you've lost a job. Maybe you got a sickness or disease. Maybe there's strife or discord with someone. Maybe you're having trouble at your job. Maybe it just looks impossible. So I don't know what challenge that you're facing, but these two words and six letters, if you'll put them together, this is what you can live under that will literally change your life forever. And these two words and six letters are, but God. But God. I want to remind you first and foremost that you're a child of the King. You are a child of God. And you have to see yourself as a child of God. Because if you don't see yourself as a child of God, then this but God is hard for you to get a hold of because you don't feel like God will do it for you. So I want you to understand that you are a child of God and He loves you. And you know, I like the one song, and we've sung it in children's church, and I think you've sang it in here. It's I am who He says I am. I'm a child of God, yes I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You're for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. How many times have we felt like God was against us? Just like I said, maybe you've done something wrong. You're ashamed of it. You wish you hadn't done it. But you did. And now you're having to forgive yourself. And you find it difficult to do that. And so you figure that God wouldn't love you or doesn't love you. Or He wouldn't do that for you. Church, it doesn't matter what you've done. As long as you've asked forgiveness, you're forgiven. The slate's wiped clean. You are a child of God. You are a King's kid. And you get to partake of the things that King's kids partake of. And let's not forget that, all right? Because as a God's royal child or a child of God, you're not subject to the natural earthly response of, but I, or but she, or but he, or but they, or but we. You're not subject to the lost world that you live in. You are subject to, but God. What has God said? Over here, we see all the things that the devil is trying to convince us we are, we've done, lied to us. Let's say the devil says you'll never amount to anything. You're a failure. You'll never own your own home. You can't. You can't tithe. You're unloved. People say, the world says, you're bound. You can't do. Whatever. All of these things are the things that the devil is trying to convince us that we are or we have or whatever. But you know what? When people of the world say no to you, but God says yes. When people of the world say you can't, but God says you can. When people of the world say you won't, but God says you will. When people of the world say stop, but God says go. When people of the world say don't, God says do. When people of the world say you're a failure, God says you're an overcomer. So I want to instill into you today the but God mindset. All of these things are yelling at us and screaming at us and telling us things. But God says this. Prosperous, abundant life, healed, head not the tail, have the mind of Christ, can do all things, meets all my needs. I'm blessed. All of those things are ours because of what God has said. This is what the world's trying to tell us, but this is what God has said. And you know, if you go to your Bible and you'll look up but God, you'll find but God a lot in the Bible. So I want to pick out a couple of the scriptures for you of where it says but God. Genesis 31, 6 and 7. It's when Jacob was talking to his wife and Jacob says, you know how hard I've worked for your father, but he's cheated me, changing my wages 10 times, but God has not allowed him to do me any harm. So it doesn't matter what somebody's doing to you, but God won't allow them to do you any harm. Psalm 73:26 says, my health will fail, my spirit may grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart. He is mine forever. Acts 13:29-30 says, when they had done all that the prophecies said about him, they took him down from the cross and placed him in a tomb, but God raised him from the dead. Genesis 50:20, but Joseph replied, you intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so I would save the lives of many people. And 1 Psalm 23:14, Saul sought David day after day, but God didn't let Saul find him. Now, in these scriptures, on the left of but God, we're finding all this disaster, sickness, cheating, whatever. But on the right, what do we find? We find victory, health, strength, abundant life, delivered. The but is a conjunction, and the definition is it's used to introduce something contrary to what has already been mentioned. So all of these things that are mentioned in your life, but God, this is what he says. It's contrary. All these things that he's promised are contrary to what that says. In fact, in other words, it kind of negates, cancels out all of this. Because this isn't what God said. This is what God said. And this is what we need to center up on. Whenever we're faced, whatever you're faced with, we need to center up on what is to the right of but God, not is what is on the left. Amen. Okay, we're going to center up on what his word says. And that's why we so encourage you to read the word so that you know what it says. So that when circumstances come, and they're going to come because the Bible tells us they're going to come, you know what to do. You can stand against them. You can stand up and say, but God said. You know, when I'm not feeling well, I can go, but God said, by Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. When it looks like I'm not going to be able to meet all my needs, I'm going to stand up and say, but God said, he'll meet all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But God, what has God said in your life? What are all of these things that are hammering? And hey, Church, these are real, okay? You feel them, you see them, you think them, they're real. But God has said this. And this is what I'm going to meditate on. Not all that stuff. I'm going to meditate on what he said. Let's think about this. Now, us wives, and maybe you wives aren't like me, but okay, I'm going to say me as the wife. You know, I'm always trying to get Larry to do and be like I think he should be, you know. And so I'll say, honey, I love you, but that attitude is really getting to me. It annoys me. Well, you know what? I was trying to be nice because I said I love you, but my I love you was on the wrong side of the but. Okay? I just negated my I love you by saying, your attitude annoys me. So what I needed to say was, honey, you know, that really kind of annoys me, but I love you. Now, he knows I love him, and he knows that, you know, the attitude does kind of bother me, but he knows I love him. And we all do it. You know, we're trying to be nice, so we say something nice, but then we say, but. So let's say the what's bothering us first, then go, but I love you, and then we're going to put it on the right side of the but, all right? And we're going to negate, or we're going to cancel out, or we're going to make it not so important. Yeah, it you know, it still bothers me of his attitude or whatever he's doing, but I still love him. All right? It's just, it looks at it a little different, doesn't it? We're focusing on the I love you, not on the other. And so that's what we're doing in life. We're not focusing on all this stuff that's true. We're focusing on the, but God, what did he say? That's what we're going to focus on. All right? So what did the but God show us in the Bible? Well, number one, God's in the business of saving. If we go back to Noah, and think about Noah. And, you know, in his lifetime, at the beginning there, God was putting all these people on the earth and they were sinning, okay? They were doing bad things. And God looks down and he goes, oh my gosh, these kids that I made, oh my goodness. So he's going to wipe them out. He told Noah, I'm going to wipe them out with a flood. I'm done with them. But you know what? Noah found favor with God and he was a righteous man. So God says, okay, Noah, this is what I want you to do. I want you to build a boat. I want to put you to put your family in it. And he told him what animals to take. And he said, I'm going to protect you. Now, Noah spent 120 years building that boat. Now, don't you think in that time he probably got to thinking, oh my gosh, it's taken so long. Nothing's happening. It's not raining. There's no flood. People are making fun of him. Have you ever been there? You know, you're trying to do something for God and people are making fun of you. Oh, you believe that God stuff. Who do you think you are? But one day, God says, get your family in the boat, get the animals in the boat, and shut the door. And what happened? It started to rain. And it rained for 40 days and 40 nights, and he wiped out everything. But in Genesis 7:24, it says the flood waters covered the earth for 150 days. And Genesis 8:1 says, but God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and livestock with him in the boat. And he sent a wind to blow across the earth, and the flood waters began to recede. So God remembered his promise with Noah, and Noah and his family were saved. So the story of Noah is the story of God's amazing grace and how he saves us. And what about the Israelites when they were slaves in Egypt? Finally, Pharaoh let them go. And God led them in a roundabout way through the wilderness toward the Red Sea. He didn't lead them on a straight path. He led them in a way that didn't seem like it was the right way to go. Okay, why would he take us this way? But he did it on purpose. Number one, because he was concerned that if they got to looking at their situation, they'd go back to Egypt. He didn't want them to go back. Number two, he knew that the Philistines was a big army, and the Israelites, they didn't have anything to fight with. So he knew that they would be defeated, that the Philistines could defeat him. But God had a plan. And what was his plan? He takes them to the Red Sea. They get to the Red Sea, and I can imagine they're standing there going, the sea's in front of us. Look at that army behind us. What's going to happen? I mean, we're dead meat. But no, God says, Moses, stretch your rod out there. And what happened? The water parted. It dried up. They walked across on dry ground, and then the water came back and drowned every one of them. In our lives, it doesn't matter what we're going through. God is there. He's there to watch over us. He's there to protect us. But God, he doesn't forget us. He didn't lead them out there in the wilderness for no reason. He had a purpose. He knew what he was doing. They just had to follow him and do what he said. And he delivered them. They didn't even have to fight the Philistines. All they had to do was walk across the river. On dry ground, even. They didn't even have to wade in it. It wasn't even wet. They walked across on dry ground. So when you live under these two words, but God, you realize that no weapon formed against you shall prosper in Jesus' name. Isaiah 54:17. So it doesn't matter. What are you facing? You might be facing one or several of all these things. But God steps in, and now you get to live the abundant life. Now you get to live victorious. Think about King David as a young man. He wanted to serve God with all of his heart. David was serving Saul. Saul decides he's filled with jealousy. He turns on David, and he actually plotted to kill him. But like I read in 1 Samuel 23, Saul sought him every day, but God didn't let Saul find him. Now, he didn't take David out of the wilderness. He left him right there, but he didn't let Saul get him. He's not going to take you out of your circumstances. He's going to let you be victorious right there. Whatever you're facing, he's there. Remember, no matter what, the sovereign grace of God cancels out what is to the left of your but God, and he gives you the promises that God has promised. Now, let's look at some things in the natural that we might be looking at. Maybe some of the things over here. Let's take our government. Now, we could look at it and go, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? It's in turmoil. Everybody's fighting. We can't get anything done. It's going to go down the tube. But God, and what did God say? 1 Timothy 2:1-2 says, I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them, intercede on their behalf, and give thanks for them. Pray this way for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. So doesn't it say if we pray for those in authority, we pray for our president, our House of Representatives, our senators, we can live a peaceful and quiet life? That's what the Bible says. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and restore their land. Amen. Our land needs to be forgiven. There's a lot of sin going on in our land. It just tells us if we would pray, he would forgive the sins and restore our land. Church, we need to pray. We need to pray for our president. He's got some big decisions to make. We need to pray for the strength that he does what he knows needs to be done. And also, church, we need to pray for some of those people in Washington. I mean, they're bad news, okay? And I'll go on to say this. There's some women up there that they are really bad news, and they need our prayer. I'm praying that God either changes their heart or moves them out. Because if they continue on the road they are, it's not helping our country. Okay? Now, I know, I'm not a big political person and don't follow it that much, but I've heard enough lately to know that we've got some people up there that we need redeemed from. Okay? So let's pray. Let's pray. Ask God. You know what? You know, I was kind of talking about him. Finally, God spoke to me and says, pray for him. And I'm praying. Either change their heart or move them out. Amen. I'm going to quit talking about them, talk about how ugly they are, what they're going on, what they're doing, and what their agenda is. I'm praying for them. And that's what we need to do. Okay? That's what's going to change. And I think probably as Christians, maybe we've sat back a little too long and now we've got a tiger on our hands. But God's able. We've got but God. Okay, I'm trusting him because this is what his word said. He said, if I'd pray, he'd heal my land. It's my land. The United States of America is my land. I'm praying for it. I'm praying for my president. Because it says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord like the rivers of water. He turns it wherever he wishes. So I'm praying that President Trump his heart is in God's hand. And God can turn him wherever he needs to go. And all the others that are in authority there. I'm praying for them. Praying that we'd have unity. You know, I understand we've got two parties and that's okay. But we still can come together and you know, make some decisions. All of us here in this room, none of us think the same way. But we can come to church, we can worship God, and we can get something done. And so that's what we need in our government. So let's pray for our government. Another thing, maybe you're struggling with your finances, okay? Maybe you can't pay your bills. Maybe you just need some extra money. Maybe there's some things that you'd like to do. Well, what does the Bible say? What does but God say? I know it says, you know, you can't meet your needs. Your checkbook says you got 5 cents in it. You know, you got your house payment coming due. But God says this. Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Or Luke 6:38, give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into our lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. So it's just a matter of us sowing and we'll reap. Giving, and he gives back. He said he's going to meet all of our needs, but you know, we got to do something about it too. He's expecting us to give, all right? I talked a little bit about earlier about forgiveness. You've done something wrong. You're ashamed. You can't forgive yourself. But God, he says Paul says in Philippians 3:13 and 14, no, dear brothers and sisters, I've not achieved it. But I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Or 1 John 1:9 says, but if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. So, you know, I could go on and on of scriptures where he says he forgives our sins. Hey, God's forgiven you. Now forgive yourself and move on. He can't move on in your life if you're still stuck on, I did this. I did it in 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 50 years ago. He says, stop it. I've forgiven you. Move on. Psalms 103:12 says he's removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. So it's just like if I take this and start wiping this off, you couldn't see it. That's what he's done. He's erased it. He can't see your sins anymore. All right, he's taken them away. How about worry, anxiety, stress, fear? You need some peace. Have you ever been there? Well, Philippians 4:6-8 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. So, you know, when we get worried and we get anxious, we just need to, hey, look, it says, be anxious for nothing. He says, let your requests be made known unto God. And then the peace of God's going to come. And then he tells us what to think on. What's good, pure, lovely, and all that. And 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And if you're like me and sometimes need a little extra peace, Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. You know, we all have those. Or at least us women do. I don't know. Sometimes I don't think men, they don't get as anxious and worried and stressed out as us ladies do, but we do. And so that's when we need to go and go, okay, this is what the word says. I don't need to be stressed. I don't need to be anxious. I don't need to be fearful. I don't need to worry. And I can have peace in the situation. All right? Another one I just want to touch on is... tithing, and just encouraging you what the word says about tithing. And he would go into Malachi. He tells us if we'll bring all of our tithes into the storehouse, he'll open the windows of heaven and pour out blessings. We don't have room enough to contain it. So I want to encourage you. That is part of the word. And so we do need to do that. And if you're tithers, he may be asking you to step it up again, you know, and give a little more. And sometimes you go, but God... You know, you feel like giving your 10% is, you know, you're stretching it, you're doing too good to do that. And he might say, okay, now let's bump it up to 12.5%, or let's go 15%, or you reach that, and he'll go, okay, now 20%, or 25%. He knows what you're making, okay, and he's not asking you for more, he's asking it to bless you, okay? And so that's just why I want to share with you. I want you to know that that's what his word says. He says if we'll bring all of our tithes into the storehouse, he's going to open up the windows and pour out blessings we don't have room enough to contain. And I don't know about you, but I need more in my storehouse, okay? I don't want to just barely get by. He said he was going to give it to us generously. So in order for me to get it generously, then I need to do my part, and I need to give. So if this year he's been saying to you, hey, come on, let's step it up a little bit. Go, okay, God, you know, I can do that. You know, I'm going to trust you. It doesn't matter how much money you have or in how much he asks you to give, you're still going to have to trust him. You might say, well, I'll tithe when I make more money. Well, you know what? When you make more money, you won't tithe because you're going to look at how big the tithe check is and you're going to go, I'm not giving that much. So, you know, just do it. Just do what he said. He said, the willing and obedient shall eat the good of the land. So let's do what he's asked us to do. If you're struggling with sickness and disease, what is but God said? Okay? 1 Peter 2:24 says, by his stripes you're healed. Isaiah 53, verse 5 said, he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins, beaten so we could be whole, whipped so we could be healed. Psalms 103, 2 and 3 says, let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. Those are all things that he said. This is what but God has said. So I'm telling you to focus on the but God, not on all this stuff on the left, okay? It doesn't mean anything. It's just a smokescreen trying to get you to look at what but God. What does he say? But God says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. His mercy is rich and endures forever. His grace is unrelenting. His love knows no end. He'll never leave you or forsake you. But God says, I'll supply all your needs. I'm with you. I'm for you. I'm always on your side. I can do anything, and you can do anything. You're healed, well, whole, free from sickness and disease. I'll fight for you. I'll open the doors no man can open, and I'll make a way where there seems no way. Remember, these two words and these six letters, but God, will change your life when you live under the power of those two words. Amen. But God is bigger than anything you're facing in your life, and He wants you to be victorious. He wants you to be more than a conqueror. So this week, I don't care what comes up over here on the left, your response is going to be, but God. What does but God say about it? And what He says is what we're going to believe, because the word's true. And we know it. You, all of you, know that the word's true. So that's what we're going to focus on. We're going to focus on the but God, and we're going to have this abundant life that He came to give us. He sent His Son to die just for us, so that we could walk in all of this. Not all that over there, but so that we could walk in all of this.